You're listening to Agent-Driven Development, real experiences from operators building with AI. Everything here is free. Use it. Share it. Just attribute it back.
The Customer Product Operating Model by Norman. It is 8:45 on a Monday morning and your chief product officer is in Jira. She has been there since 7:30. Before that, she was in Confluence, reviewing a spec that should have been a working prototype but somebody turned into 12 pages of requirements nobody will read twice. Before that, she skimmed 40 Zendesk tickets, sampling weekend complaints to build a gut sense for what broke. Before that, she reorganized Monday's sprint review agenda because two stories got punted Friday and nobody updated the board. 75 minutes of work. Not 1 minute thinking about a customer. This is product management at most organizations. Not product management, product administration. A coordination function wearing a strategic title. Your CPO knows this. She got into product because she understood customers. She could sit across from someone, listen to what they said and what they did not say, and come back with a product decision that moved a market. That instinct is still there. It is buried under backlog grooming, stakeholder alignment, roadmap theater, and sprint logistics. That era is ending. Not because product leaders decided to change. Because the bottleneck that created product administration just broke. What replaces it is not complicated. Instrument every customer surface. Talk to customers. Build a working POC instead of writing a spec. Debate how to release it. Make sure it lands. That is the customer product operating model. Simple. Obvious. Rare. How product management became a coordination function. Building software was expensive. Slow. Constrained by engineering headcount, release cycles, and the sheer overhead of getting code from an idea to production. So organizations built a buffer between customers and engineers. That buffer was product management. The job was supposed to be simple. Understand the customer. Figure out what to build. Make the hard calls about what not to build. Let engineering figure out how. But because engineering capacity was the bottleneck, the role drifted. Product managers became the people who protected the scarce resource. They triaged. They prioritized. They wrote user stories. They attended stand-ups. They built rituals, sprint planning, backlog refinement, quarterly roadmap reviews, OKR ceremonies, to make sure the constraint got fed the right work. The ratio flipped. Your product team now spends roughly 60% of their time on internal coordination and maybe 40% on customers and markets. At most organizations I work with, the real number is closer to 70/30. You did not design it this way. The system optimized for the constraint, and the constraint was building. The constraint moved. The context problem got solved while your PMs were in sprint planning. Here is what your product team does every week to build customer context. They read through tickets. Maybe 200 out of the 12,000 your organization generated last quarter, the ones that were escalated, flagged, or surfaced by a dashboard somebody built 2 years ago that nobody validates. They scroll through support conversations. They skim NPS verbatims. They ask customer success managers for anecdotes. They build a mental model of what customers want, what is broken, and what matters, ticket by ticket, conversation by conversation, manually. That takes days. The output is incomplete. No human holds the full picture across thousands of data points, dozens of channels, and 3 months of customer behavior. Agents read your entire ticketing system in minutes. Not a summary dashboard. Not a filtered view. The whole thing. Your Jira backlog. Your Zendesk queue. Your intercom threads. Your GitHub issues. Your App Store reviews. Your NPS verbatims. Your social feeds. Your sales call transcripts. Your churned customer exit surveys. All of it. Synthesized. Cross-referenced against your roadmap, your release history, and the conversations your CS team had last week. Your PM team spent 3 days assembling a picture from 200 tickets. The agent read 12,020 minutes and cross-referenced them against your repo activity, your release notes, and the social threads your team never even saw. Is it perfect? No. It gets you 80%. Maybe 90%. Can it be wrong? Yes. That is why you exist. Your job is no longer to gather context. It is to validate, challenge, and act on context that arrives pre-assembled. You do not need to read every ticket in your backlog. You do not need to personally parse every customer conversation. You need to make the decisions the machine cannot make because the machine does not know your market politics, your competitive timing, or which customer's renewal is at risk for reasons that never appeared in a ticket. The agent does the reading. You do the thinking. Instrument every surface or bleed out data. The agent's synthesis only works if the data exists. Most organizations are bleeding context out of every seam and nobody is collecting it. Your customer calls happen on Zoom. Nobody summarizes them. The recording sits in a folder nobody opens. The insight the customer gave you at minute 37, the one where she said, "We actually stopped using that feature because it broke our workflow," dies in a video file. Your screen shares happen live. The PM watches, maybe takes a note, maybe remembers the moment 3 days later when writing a spec. The actual behavior, where the customer clicked, where they hesitated, where they gave up and opened a spreadsheet, is gone. Your social feeds mention your product by name. Your community Slack has 4,000 messages a month. Your support team hears the same complaint 6 times a day but logs it differently each time. Your sales team hears objections on every call and files them in their heads, not in a system. All of that is context your product team needs. Almost none of it flows anywhere useful. Instrument everything. Agents attend your customer calls. Not a human taking notes, an agent that captures the transcript, identifies the product signals, flags the moments that matter, and delivers a synthesis before the PM finishes their coffee. Every call. Every customer. Every week. Agents watch your screen shares. They see where the customer hesitated. They see the workaround. They see the feature the customer ignored entirely, which tells you as much as the feature they complained about. Agents read your social channels, your community forums, your App Store reviews, your Reddit threads, your competitors' release notes. Not a weekly digest compiled by an intern, a continuous feed, synthesized and cross-referenced against your roadmap, delivered to the people who make decisions. Agents listen to your sales calls. They hear the objection your VP of sales mentioned in passing but never quantified. They hear the feature request that came up 14 times last month across 8 different prospects. They hear the competitor name that keeps surfacing in deals you lost. The point is not surveillance. The point is that your organization generates thousands of customer signals every week and captures maybe 5% of them. The other 95% evaporates. Not because nobody cares. Because no human can process it at scale. Agents can. Instrument the surfaces. Capture the context. Route it to the people who make product decisions. Your PM should wake up to a picture of the customer that would have taken them a week to assemble manually, and it should update every morning. Going back to the customer. If you got into product for the right reasons, this is the best part. You get to go back to the customer. Not the abstracted, dashboard-mediated, NPS score version of the customer. The real one. The person who pauses for 2 seconds before answering your question, and that pause tells you more than 12,000 tickets. When agents handle the synthesis, your product team gets time back. Not theoretical time, not we should do more discovery that gets deprioritized by the next production incident. Structural time. Real hours, back on the calendar, every week. Use it. Send your PMs to customers. Not surveys. Not webinar Q&As. Actual conversations. Screen shares where you watch someone struggle with the thing you thought was intuitive. Site visits where you see the environment your product lives in the second monitor, the sticky notes, the workarounds they built because your feature did not quite do what they needed. Phone calls where a customer tells you what they actually need instead of what your feature request form permits them to ask for. And send them to your competitor's products. When is the last time your product team spent a full day inside a competitor's workflow? Not reading a feature comparison matrix. Not skimming a G2 review. Using the product. Signing up. Onboarding. Doing the job your customer does, but inside the other product. Feeling where it is better. Feeling where it is worse. Noticing the design decision that makes their onboarding frictionless while yours requires a training video and a support article. Your PMs used to be too busy for this. They were managing engineering capacity, writing specs, grooming backlogs, attending ceremonies. Competitive analysis became a quarterly slide deck assembled from screenshots and press releases. Nobody had time to live inside the competing product for a day and come back with the kind of insight you only get from experience. Now they have time. The administration is handled. The context is pre-assembled. The scarce resource is no longer scarce. And that advantage, the competitor insight advantage, compounds. The product leader who understands the competitive landscape through first-hand experience makes better decisions than the one reading a feature matrix. Every time. It is 2026. Agents handle the coordination tax. They synthesize the customer data. They monitor release notes, social feeds, and app store reviews. And this is the worst they will ever be. Next year they will be better. More capable. More connected. More autonomous. That means the floor on what your product team can focus on keeps rising. Every quarter, they get more hours back for the work that actually matters: customers, competitors, and product decisions. Talk to customers. Figure out what to build, not how to build it, that is engineering's job, and they just got dramatically faster at it. Figure out what? Can you monetize it? Will someone pay? Is the timing right? Is this a feature, a product, or a platform play? Is this the bet you make this quarter or the one you defer until the market tells you more? These are the questions that create product market fit. These are the questions that separate companies that win from companies that shipped a lot of features nobody wanted. For the first time in a decade, your product team has the bandwidth to actually ask them. Stop writing specs. Start shipping POCs. This changes what product management actually looks like day to day. Your product team currently writes specifications, requirements documents, user stories, acceptance criteria, wireframes with annotations, PRDs that take 2 weeks to draft, a week to review, and another week to debate before engineering writes the first line of code. That entire workflow exists because building was expensive. When engineering time is the scarce resource, you cannot afford to build the wrong thing. So you invested enormous effort in defining the right thing on paper, hoping that a document could substitute for a working product. Hoping that enough stakeholder reviews and sign-offs would prevent wasted engineering cycles. Building is not expensive anymore. A product manager with agentic tooling can produce a working proof of concept in a day. Not a mock-up. Not a Figma prototype that someone clicks through and pretends to evaluate. A working POC, real code, real data, real interactions that demonstrates the product decision in software instead of describing it in a document. Think about what that changes. Your PM comes back from a customer conversation with an insight. In the old model, she writes a spec. She schedules a review. She gets feedback. She revises. She prioritizes it against 40 other specs. 3 months later, if she is lucky, engineering builds something that approximates what she described. The customer sees it and says, "That is not what I meant." In the customer product operating model, she builds a POC that afternoon. Maybe it is ugly. Maybe it handles one workflow instead of 12. But it works. She shows it to the customer the next day. The customer says, "Yes, but move this here and add that." She adjusts. By the end of the week, the product team is not debating a document, they are debating working software. The conversation shifts from what should we build to how should we release this. That is a fundamentally different product organization. The debate is no longer abstract. Nobody is arguing over the interpretation of a requirements paragraph or whether a wireframe accurately represents the customer's intent. The thing exists. You can touch it. You can show it to 5 customers and watch their reactions. You can ship it to a beta cohort and measure what happens. Spec-driven product management was a rational response to expensive engineering. When building a feature took a team of 8 engineers 3 months, you had better be certain before you started. That was the spec's job. But certainty from a document is an illusion. The spec is the product team's best guess, filtered through the biases of whoever was in the room, constrained by what the PM could articulate in writing, and disconnected from the customer's actual environment. Working software is different. A spec is a guess. A POC is evidence. Stop guessing on paper. Start testing in code. This does not mean PMs need to become software engineers. It means PMs with access to agentic development tools can produce functional prototypes the way they used to produce slide decks, quickly, iteratively, and with the understanding that the output is a starting point, not a finished product. Engineering takes the validated POC and builds it for production with the architecture, security, scalability, and operational concerns that a prototype does not need but a shipped product does. The PM's deliverable is no longer a document that describes what to build. It is working software that demonstrates what to build. The engineering team's job is no longer to interpret a spec. It is to take a validated concept and make it production ready. That is faster. That is cheaper. That is closer to the customer. And it eliminates the most expensive failure mode in product development, building the wrong thing confidently because a spec said so. The bottleneck moved. Most executive teams have not processed this yet. For 20 years, everything in your organization, planning cycles, roadmap reviews, headcount requests, vendor evaluations, architectural review boards optimized around one assumption: engineering capacity is the constraint. That assumption broke. Engineering teams with agentic tooling now ship in weeks what used to take quarters. 2 engineers with the right setup outproduce 10 without it. I have watched it happen. But the constraint did not disappear. It moved. The new bottleneck is your customer's capacity to receive what you ship. When you shipped 4 major features a year, customers had time to absorb each one. They learned it. They integrated it into their workflows. They gave you feedback on a timeline that matched your release cadence. Delivery speed and absorption speed were roughly matched. Now you can ship every week. Your customer's ability to absorb, evaluate, and benefit from what you ship has not changed at all. That mismatch, delivery speed outpacing customer absorption, is the new constraint. And your operating model is still optimized for the old one. Your PMs are spending 60% of their time managing the build process. Building is not the bottleneck anymore. They should be spending that time managing the customer's experience of receiving, adoption, onboarding, feedback loops, quality expectations, and the relationship between what you ship and what the customer actually needs next. Quality expectations are about to compound. When building is fast and cheap, the bar for what ships goes up. Not incrementally. Structurally. Your customers will know, because their own organizations are experiencing the same shift, that software can be built in a fraction of the time it used to take. They will not wait for your quarterly release. They will expect fixes in days. They will expect personalization other products already offer. They will expect quality they consider table stakes, because AI-assisted development makes clean, well-tested, well-designed software the default, not the aspiration. Your customers are going to receive excellent software from your competitors. Then they are going to open your product and compare. This is happening across every industry. Banks. Insurers. Manufacturers. Retailers. Healthcare systems. Not just SaaS companies. Every organization that builds or buys software is experiencing this compression. the quality floor is rising everywhere. The companies that treated good enough as a product strategy are about to discover that good enough moved. If your product team is still managing backlogs instead of managing customer relationships, you will ship fast and ship irrelevant. You will have the velocity and lose the direction. What this means for your product organization this quarter. This is not a 12-month transformation. The shift is happening now. The executives who orient first compound the advantage. Instrument every customer surface. If a customer signal exists and you are not capturing it, you are choosing ignorance. Calls. Screen shares. Support tickets. Sales calls. Community threads. Social mentions. Competitor release notes. Pipe it all into one place and let agents do the first pass before your product team starts the day. Replace one spec workflow this month. Pick one team. One initiative. No PRD. No 12-page requirements doc. Build a working POC in 48 hours, show it to customers, then debate release instead of interpretation. Do it once and your team will not want to go back. Make PM time visible. Track where the hours actually go for 2 weeks. Customer conversations. Competitor product immersion. Backlog administration. Internal meetings. Spec writing. Most executives have no idea how much expensive product time disappears into coordination. Put the number on a slide and watch the room change. Measure receiving, not just shipping. Feature adoption. Time to first value. Usage depth. Expansion pull. Support load after release. The gap between we shipped it and the customer benefited from it is now the most expensive gap in your organization. Own that gap like revenue depends on it. Because it does. The existential question. If product management stays a coordination function, if your CPO's organization remains the human routing layer between customers and engineers, agents will route around it. Engineering teams with agentic tooling will pull their own customer context. They will synthesize their own tickets. They will read their own social feeds. The synthesis work that justified the PM headcount will happen automatically before the PM finishes their Monday Jira review. The product leaders who survive this are the ones who go back to what product management was always supposed to be. Not backlog management. Not sprint coordination. Not roadmap theater. Understanding the customer deeply enough that the company builds the right thing, at the right time, for the right price, in the right market. That is the customer product operating model. Instrument everything. Talk to customers. Build a POC, not a spec. Debate how to release it. Make sure it lands. That was always the job. You just got too busy administering the build to do it. You did not become a product leader to manage a backlog. Go remember why you did.
That's it for this one. More at agentdrivendevelopment.com. If it helped, pass it on.